The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Woody Page, Emily Kaplan, Kevin Blackstone, and in his Around the Horn debut, welcome June Lee. Fire!
Fresh meat.
But what will the debut be? Will it be Vlad-like or Acuna-like? Or will it be a Rosarena with Kiermaier stealing his sunshine? Woody wants to Kiermaier you, June. Let's go!
Don't want that.
Very good.
Move it up.
Look at June. What a great look today, too. June Lee comes to us from Baseball Tonight Live and ESPN.com. His piece on the Marlins and Kim Ng and front offices all over baseball this week was a must-read. Formerly Bleacher Report and part of the Washington Post Sports Pipeline. Soul bred, Boston raised. Give us your life story in 7 seconds or less. June, start at the beginning.
Born in Seoul, South Korea, moved to the United States when I was 2 months old. Basically born in Boston in a time where all of the most obnoxious generation of Boston sports fans were generated, myself included.
Oh, boy.
And in third grade, I used to bring the newspaper to show and tell to read the game stories.
Well, we respect that, absolutely. And now you get to be on the same panel as your elders. June Lee, welcome. Here's your first mute. Let's go around the horn. And we begin with the news of the day in the NFL. Woody Page, you had it this morning in the Gazette. You wrote it up. The Denver Broncos trading for Teddy Bridgewater. And what happens this afternoon? Carolina trading Teddy Bridgewater to Denver. Broncos parting with a sixth-round pick. That's the trade. Woo! Normally we start with the rookie, but we got to start with Woody Page here, the veteran. What does Teddy Bridgewater do for Denver, and what happens now in the first round? Because these two teams draft number 8 and number 9.
Well, I think the Broncos staff read my column and made that trade.
I don't know about
and
that.
And they went out on a golf outing for the day, so they're not going after another quarterback. They've gotten their guy. I really like the deal. He did average a percentage of 69 last year, but 2 years ago is when I want to go back to when he took over for an injured Drew Brees, and he went 5-0 and really got them back into the division chase and into the playoffs. So I think you throw away last year. Here's a guy that they got for six-round draft choice. They're not even going to pay 50% of his salary, and he'll compete with Drew Locke. So they're out of the quarterback business. They'll have those two compete.
That's it. Number 9, they're not going quarterback. That's what you're telling us, Woody Page?
They're going to trade down. Mm-hmm. They're going to trade down, let one of those teams like the New England Patriots, Washington football team, or the Bears go into that spot and get their own quarterback.
All right. Well, since you invoked the New England Patriots, someone just described themselves as an annoying fan. Put that aside for a second, June Lee. What does this trade do right now? Bridgewater going to Denver, Carolina drafts 8, Denver 9?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Teddy Bridgewater's career has been marred by so many crazy, weird, unusual circumstances. Obviously, he had that devastating knee injury early in his career. And I thought Woody made a great point. He had that run with New Orleans where he looked like a really, really good quarterback at one point. Obviously, I think it's going to be really interesting just to see Bridgewater in Denver. He's going to be in a situation where he's going to be able to compete for that starting job against Drew Locke. I don't think anyone is kind of the defined starter there. But again, from the selfish New England sports fan perspective, it's going to make it a lot easier, I think, for the Patriots to go after a guy like Justin Fields potentially.
Okay, we hear it.
Top 10.
So you believe in the trade up to number 9, and Denver now would be a willing trade partner here, okay? But way to start the career, I believe Woody Page is right. Yo, if you want to do that to yourself, watch out there. Dude, like, Kevin Blackstone, turn to you here on this trade and what it means for the draft tomorrow.
Well, it certainly makes sense for the Denver Broncos. I mean, they get a guy who's more experienced than Teddy Bridgewater, who's neater in the pocket, doesn't make the mistakes. You know, I think Drew Locke threw for like 15 interceptions in 13 games for the Broncos the last couple of years. So they got a guy who can clean that up and can steady the ship, and maybe you get a starter in the long term. Now, does that mean that they are necessarily out of the draft pool for a quarterback? I don't know, because a few weeks ago we only had a few quarterbacks going in the top 10. Now all of a sudden we seem like we have five, and you never know what somebody might want to do. I mean, this is a team that's made changes at quarterback, drafted some quarterbacks, brought in some free agents over the past few years. Why would they not want to?
So you don't think this removes them from drafting a quarterback? You might think it behooves them to draft a quarterback. Carolina's 8, and they acquired Sam Darnold this offseason, we should say. And now Denver at 9, acquiring Teddy Bridgewater today. Emily, what do you think it means?
Well, he's the best quarterback they've had since Peyton Manning, but that really doesn't say much because they haven't had much. And I don't think it takes them out of drafting a quarterback, because if this is such a special class like we hear, why not get a guy and have him sit behind these two players for a season and mature? They're not committed to Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater financially long term. But can we just talk about this from a Carolina perspective for a second? They spent more than $30 million on this guy to have just 15 starts. That is a very expensive mistake. I wish I was in position to make such luxurious, expensive mistakes. But unfortunately, I'm not.
Woody, last chance here. You heard from Kaplan and Blackstone. They think a trade still very likely. Lee agrees a trade maybe with New England is likely. A quarterback is likely. Go ahead. Go ahead, Woody.
George Payton doesn't want to give up assets. He wants to receive more. He's going to trade down to later in the first round so they can get a couple of additional draft choices. And as I said, there are a number of candidates that want to move up and get one of those quarterbacks. And Justin Fields started out as number 2 possibility in the draft, and now he's drifting where he will be available around that position in the first
round. Yeah, let's go deeper on that. Thank you for that, Woody Page. Here's an extra point for a transitional phrase here. The top 10 of the draft, Kevin Blackstone gave us a little clue. Could be 5 quarterbacks, or could be the exact opposite of that. We got the preview from Kyle Shanahan this week that we don't know if we're all going to be alive by the end of the week. But should we be? Trevor Lawrence, number 1, Jacksonville. Zach Wilson, number 2, to the Jets. And then what happens after that with Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields appears to be the story of the draft. And just one little piece of information. A report from Todd McShay today that the Philadelphia Eagles could trade up so they can have a chance to draft Justin Fields. Jun Lee, you want to bite on that for a second? The idea the Eagles could trade up to draft Justin Fields?
Yeah, I mean, if I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I would be concerned about hearing that the front office at one point traded down out of the top 10, made a definitive decision to obviously not go after a quarterback in that position, and then suddenly decide to switch and flip it up and try to go after a quarterback. I mean, it would concern me, especially if I was Jalen Hurts, being like, what exactly is going on here? You draft Jalen Hurts last year. His presence helps kind of push Carson Wentz out of town. I wonder if this is a motivational tactic to try to get Jalen Hurts to up his game as his first kind of full year as
you
a
do.
Starter. But
this public, I mean, that they would go out and this publicly say, you know, but maybe we'll draft just to motivate the quarterback. There's other ways to motivate somebody. You bring them in the room, you're like, let's go, let's do this.
But it's just generally confusing. I mean, like, what is kind of the philosophical, organizational direction here? If you're trying to move out, why are you trying to move back in?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, June, that Justin Fields is the story of this draft, the X factor of this draft?
I feel like the draft tonight kind of pivots on what happens with Justin Fields. Is he going to go in the top 3? I mean, we've heard him as high as number 3 to the 49ers. And then there's also people saying that he is not even a first-round talent in the first place. And so there's so much mixed information going around about Justin Fields. It makes me wonder, the conspiracy theorist part of me, makes me wonder whether or not there's a team out there trying to put out this misinformation so he does fall in the draft. Because, you know, this is a guy who, before this kind of entire draft process started, with someone who people were saying was kind of locked into that top 3, and now he's not. So there's just so much information going on around him, and it feels like a lot happening.
All right. And it's misinformation. The draft tomorrow. I know you're excited tonight, but the draft is tomorrow. It was the night before the draft. Kevin Blackstone on the Eagles or on Justin Fields being the X factor?
You know, I don't know that Justin Fields is the X factor, and if people are seeing him as that, he certainly shouldn't be that. I mean, he has a resume to be drafted very high as a quarterback in this draft. I feel badly for Justin Fields. I think he's been dissected unfairly. I feel badly for Jalen Hurts. I mean, he doesn't get a chance to prove himself there. He did throw for 338 yards and four touchdowns in an appearance last year, I think, against the Cardinals. But everyone is so focused on trying to microwave success at the quarterback now. I know that, you know, we're comfortable with starting quarterbacks in their rookie year. No problem with that. But people are just they're trading these guys like they're trading cards right now. You've got to give people an opportunity. And so I feel badly for both of those guys.
Emily Kaplan.
I feel like Justin Fields is the human encapsulation with everything that is wrong with the pre-draft process and draft hysteria, because you look at him, he looks like an NFL quarterback. You talk to him, he sounds like an NFL quarterback. He acts like it, but people are still trying to find reasons why not to like him. And if Howie Roseman goes and gets him, I think it is a move of desperation. I think he's telling on himself that he feels a ton of pressure on his own job. This is a team that has more draft picks than anybody else, but so many needs: wide receiver, cornerback, linebacker, offensive tackle. I could go on and on. Getting another quarterback right now would just be silly.
Woody Page.
Yeah, no offense, June, but if they're doing this to motivate the quarterback, that just proves that they're humiliating themselves. They got rid of the coach. They got rid of their starting quarterback all from the Super Bowl. They're trying to get rid of their tight end. They got rid of the number six draft choice, and they're actually going to go out. Why don't they go back to the Dolphins and say, how about we make that trade again and reverse it? And that is not the case, and Justin Fields is not the X factor in this draft. It's the 49ers. Whatever they choose to do of those three quarterbacks,
right. Okay.
That's going to make the difference in the rest of the draft, Tony. It's not about Justin Fields. If anything, it's about the Jets and what they're doing with Wilson, who 6 months ago nobody ever heard of. And now he's like, oh, the greatest quarterback since Joe Namath in New York.
All right, Woody, you got worked up about this, don't you? So you would say the Jets have cold feet right now? Is that what you're saying? That they would have the coldest feet of any team drafted? June, who has the coldest feet right now?
I mean, I would have the coldest feet about Zach Wilson for those exact same reasons. He's a guy that was not really heard of, doesn't have a ton of experience in big game college situations. And I think Kevin made a great point. You know, there's this kind of microwave effect happening in the NFL right now where teams are cutting quarterbacks loose really quickly. I mean, Sam Darnold is a guy who had 3 years in New York. Joe Douglas had him for the last 2 years. And so much of a quarterback's success as a rookie is dependent on the circumstance. And I'm not convinced that Joe Douglas is going to be able to put Zach Wilson in a position to succeed in New York as the quarterback as we move forward.
Blackstone?
I just think it's going to be any team who's starting to look at Trey Lance at that position. And I say that not as a knock against Trey Lance necessarily, because he has, you know, he only has 17 starts, only one game played last year. But there is a deep class of wide receivers out there right now. Chase from LSU, Waddle, Smith, obviously. We saw what he did. And if you pass on one of those guys to get a quarterback, you have done yourself and your team a disservice.
Even in the year of the quarterback, as some are saying. Okay, and Kaplan, last word.
Yeah, if I'm the Jets, I don't know why no one's talking about this, but serious Mitch Trubisky vibes when it comes to Zach Wilson. I mean, before 2020, 85 QBR, three-star recruit out of high school. And June, you said putting rookies in position for success. You agreed with KB. That was a very good move. I just want to tell
you. Well, he agreed with KB, but he said twice in the show already, I agree with Woody Page, which is a, I mean, good luck with the rest of your life, June Lee, as some had said. All right, so that's going to be it. Take a break right here. You're hanging in there, Lee. You're hanging in there. Woody and the Page. Big lead going into buy or sell.
Don't agree with me.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
All right, Jun Lee, here's the situation. Woody Page has got a big lead, but he's blown bigger before. I want to talk to you about what you just said about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, that they would need to get the motivation of the young player in the right place. Are you saying you want Clinton Yates brought into the show today just to motivate you? Is that what you're saying? Uh-oh. Settle down. It's buy or sell. Lee, let's go. You're going to like this. It's baseball. Vlad Jr. became the youngest player in Major League history with 3 home runs, 7 RBI game last night. And while that was happening, look at these bombs, Ronald Acuna Jr. hit one 481 feet. So you got a guy in Acuna who's 23 and Guerrero who turned 22 this spring. Future of the game type conversation, June. But was more impressive last night, though? The 3 home runs for Guerrero or what Acuna's doing?
It's Vladdy Jr. because it's not just the 3 home runs and the 7 RBIs. It's that 2 of them came off of one of the best pitchers of the generation in Max Scherzer, a future Hall of Famer. Vladdy came back this offseason, lost 40 pounds, and is now proving why he was one of the most hyped prospects since Ken Griffey Jr. He's basically showing why he's one of the most exciting young players in baseball right now.
Kevin Blackstone?
7 ribbies, 3 home runs, opposite field. I mean, this guy can really do it all at the plate. And the other thing is, remember, this is part of lineage. So he's trying to live up to and surpass his dad. Imagine that. Imagine the pressure of that. So I got to go with Vlad.
Kaplan?
Yeah, Vladdy Jr. did something that his dad couldn't do. And I was thinking about it. How many sons of Hall of Famers have had better careers than their fathers? It's so hard to think of examples. I can think of Brett Hull and Bobby Hull in hockey, but very few others.
That's a good point. You know, we brought up Ken Griffey Jr. Senior was a very good player, wasn't a Hall of Famer. Bobby Bonds, a very good player, wasn't a Hall of Famer. Barry Bonds, of course, was the greatest of all time. Woody Page, bring you in here.
Can we give Acuna some love here, guys? What he accomplished last night with a 481-yard, 400.
That would be something.
481 yards. I mean, he came back from an injury that was supposed to keep him out for a while. He missed one series, and he's still hitting home runs like he did at the beginning of the year. Yep.
Let's talk bigger picture here for a second, June, because we saw Acuna, and he's top of the league in just about every stat in the National League. And then, of course, we can add in Mike Trout and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Juan Soto, Jacob DeGrom, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts. Who's the player you would most want to pay to see right now, and who would you build your franchise around?
If you're talking about marketability and wanting to sell tickets and getting people to tune out on a night-to-night basis, I think it's Mookie Betts. It's a guy who does everything on the field well. He does all the small things on the field well. He makes all the smart plays on the field. And then he does all the highlights of everything you want to see on SportsCenter, the game-winning catches, the home runs. For me, Mookie's that
Emily
guy.
Emily Kaplan?
It's Tatis. He also has the marketability, plays such a tough position defensively. And he just played a game, a series, against the Los Angeles Dodgers, the best team in baseball. 5 home runs in 4 games against Bauer and Kershaw. That's impressive.
Woody Page?
In spring training, where I never pay to see anything, I bought a ticket to see Ohtani. I mean, the guy that's pitching and designated hitting, you don't think that's entertainment?
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, I already pay to see Juan Soto, who was on the first team Major League Baseball last year, along with Tatis, the 2 youngest guys on there. But if you ask general managers, they would say Tatis because you build your team up the middle. Yeah. And he is playing, as Emily said, a tough position at shortstop.
Oh, I guess Mike Trout's over the hill now. Oh, I guess it's 1,400 OPS. Maybe I read that wrong. We'll move on. Buy or sell to a 12-team college football playoff. Story in The Athletic today, a Power 5 AD told The Athletic it's gaining support amidst fear of fan disinterest and dominance of a few teams from the same region. Kevin Blackstone, buy or sell a 12-team college football playoff?
I got to sell it, Tony, and I got to sell it for the reason I've sold everything else in college football, unless and until college football players get a better slice of the pie that they create for these for the college football athletic complex. I can't back this. And, you know, right now we just had the hearing before the Supreme Court. Let's see what the Supreme Court says about the welfare of college athletes before we decide to expand this
playoff. Emily Kaplan?
I'm buying this. At least somebody listened to the criticism of the Super League. What fans want is more inclusion. Since the college football playoffs, there's been 28 spots. Four teams have taken 20 of them. If they're going to the finals, that's great, but make them earn it.
Woody Page?
Kevin, how about this? That we expand to 12 and all that money goes to the players. I am so tired of Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma every year. Can we not get some other teams like Boise State and Stanford into the playoffs? Come on.
Okay, and Jun Lee.
I mean, what do we love about March Madness? It's the chaos, it's the unpredictability, and I think the only way we're going to get that is by adding more teams into this mix. What do you mention? We see Alabama and Clemson in there every single year. I'm tired of seeing the same teams over and over again. I want chaos with college football.
Went to the Woody Page mentioned well again. I don't know how it should feel. We'll give you the point, June Lee. Although, Woody, if we were actually living by what you said here, we would eliminate some of the older voices in the show and bring in the new blood. Not happening for you today. Don't worry. You're safe. You're safe. Kaplan, Blackstone. Front row seats for a Woody Page, June Lee showdown. Old school versus new school. And by old school, I mean one school room house. Yes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
One showdown for all the marbles. Kevin Kiermaier stepping in front of teammate Randy Arozarena to make the catch. Good catch or bad catch? Good teammate or bad teammate? Woody Page, first to you.
That's a great idea. He was moving toward the play. He's got the stronger arm. He threw it 94 miles per hour. He was trying to make a play at home plate. Right decision.
Mm-hmm. Jun Lee.
In my experience as a Brooklyn High School bench warmer outfielder, the center fielder has priority there, but I think Kevin Kiermaier was trying to do a little bit too much on that play. Just let Arozarena catch and make the throw.
Arozarena was set up, Woody Page, and Kiermaier had to make 5 steps to make the throw. I'm giving the point to Jun Lee. Yes, another rookie has won on their first show. Sue me. Congratulations, Jun Lee.
Representation isn't everything, but it also isn't nothing. And with my first FaceTime, I want to thank Pablo, Torre, and Mina Kimes for paving the way for me on this show. Pablo was the first person that I saw on television who was Asian American, who was able to kind of be his full, authentic personality. And it was a huge inspiration for me in being able to pursue a career in sports journalism. And also Mina, as a fellow Korean American, has also been an inspiration. And the fact that the two of them called me and texted me and gave me advice on how to do the show has made me feel like I've been living a dream the last couple of days. So thank you, Pablo and Mina. And thank you for paving the way for Asian Americans in sports media.
There we go, Jun Lee. What a win. What a moment for you. And I told you this before we got here, but what's great about this is this was earned and this was deserved. You're a baseball savant. We love reading you all the time, and now we get that. Woody, you're shaking your head no. What are you saying here? What was your FaceTime going to be, Woody?
I was going to pick the Derby for you, Tony. I do it every year.
Pick the Derby. Go ahead.
Essential quality is going to win going.
There you go.